talking about what's new with Los Angeles Clippers. There's always so much to discuss. Let's jump right in. It's LA Clips Forum.
Hey, Clippers.
It's LA Clips Forum with Jesse and Brian.
Ooh, welcome to the LA Clips Forum. My name is Brian Andrew. I'm here with Jesse the Bestie Sandoval. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. I saw you over the weekend. We went to the Padres-Dodgers game. It was a rain delay game. We were there for several hours. I'm surprised I didn't come home with a cold. I do feel like my voice was pretty low the next day, but it wasn't like scratchy or anything. But yeah, I saw you. So usually I ask what's up with your life, but I was in your life.
You were in my life and it was a good time. I mean, hey man, I would say that for sure that game, like that experience at Dodger Stadium, the food has gone up, like for sure. It's gone up a notch. Last time I went, it wasn't that great, I'll be honest. But the Asian cuisines were pretty bomb.
The Korean fried chicken was really good.
Dude, it was so good. The chicken katsu was really good too.
Oh yeah, that was really good.
I'm not too sure if that's been there for a while, but it was really good. Totally recommend for anyone going there.
It was funny because I came home and I told my spouse, I was like, I don't know, I'm still like hungry. And I was like, I don't know why I'm still hungry. You know what? I think it's because like we ordered a bunch of food, but we shared it with everyone. Like we never really got like full off something.
Yeah. And it doesn't help that we were like up so long. Like, I mean, that game didn't end till like what, 10, 11?
Oh, it was like well past 11, but we left at like the top of the ninth inning or something like that.
Yeah,
so
dude, this game's too cold.
We were beating traffic and it was like, like wasn't happening. So
yeah, overall cool experience.
Yeah, it was all right. You know, it was funny because like our buddy picked me up and then we went to pick you up. And like for people to know, I live in Huntington Beach and Jesse lives in Long Beach. And it was funny. I was talking to him. I was like, yeah, dude, I don't think I've seen Jesse since the last time I went to something with him. And I was like, yeah, it's funny that we live like 25 minutes from each other. And that's being generous. And I was like, yeah, but we don't ever hang out. Like we haven't hung out anywhere local and we've been living 20 minutes from each other for probably a year now.
Yeah, it's just kind of hard because of conflict of schedule. I mean, you have a spouse, so obviously I understand you always have to be with her and like yeah, things with her too. So and then I have work, and then after that, like things go come up. But you know what? I think that's gonna change though, because it's like I don't know. I don't really care much for getting together for a Clipper game. Like I mean, like a regular season Clipper game. Like unless it's a really good matchup or I'm really interested in it, like and you're really interested in it, then sure. But I feel like because there's so many games, like none of them really like, oh yeah, that's gonna be great. I'm just like, yeah, I'm excited to watch some Clipper basketball, but I can do that. I want to do that my own time. Like I want to people.
I'm the same way. Like I think when I'm at work all day, I'm like, I'm not trying to hang out with people. Like
yeah.
There's people trying to talk to us at the game and we're like, I'm like, stop. Like, please.
Yeah, dude.
Please respect my privacy.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm a Padres fan, but man, I don't like talking. It's just like social battery was going
I get
down.
I get that there's six of us here at the stadium, but we don't need to talk to each other.
It's like there was one point like where we got in the bathroom and there's this one guy, he's already like kind of drunk and he's like, yeah, Padres. So I was like, yeah, yeah. And he's just standing there and I'm like, and I looked at Brian and Lex and I'm like, hey, can we go back to our seats? Like, I don't want to talk to this guy anymore.
Like I didn't need to do that much fist bumping, you know, like
COVID still thing, you know.
Speaking of, you know, like you're like regular season, you know, but you know, we have some playoff basketball approaching, some housekeeping. The plan is that we will be doing a post game episode, even if it's 10, 15, 5, 30 minutes long, after every game this postseason. I will say though, there might be a couple games where we're like, oh no. Maybe this has to come out the next day just simply because things pop up. I have agreed to things ahead of time and I was like, oops, I didn't realize playoff basketball is coming, and then I so yeah, like I have to go to one of my spouse's friends' baby showers on the 27th, and I've been like waiting for the NBA to update the schedule, and I'm like, I hope there's not a game that day. But if there is, I'll figure out a way to watch it. I'll do my part at the baby shower, and then I'll find a way to podcast later that night. But yeah, because I know damn well, I know how it works. That game would probably be at like noon, and then I'm halfway across Southern California without my podcast equipment. So that's just the way things are. But as of now, the plan is we will do every episode. So before we get into that though, how was your general feelings about the season? How about one positive, one negative, and let's just do more one feeling about it. So let's start with your positive feeling about the season.
I guess the positive season was part of that fifth, was it like a 15 game win streak or kind of thing, 10 game?
Something like that,
Yeah. That was probably like one of my that was probably the greatest time of the Clipper season was during that time. I guess yeah, I'll put it there because I was going to say Kawhi being available, but towards the end of the season, he's not playing, so I'm a little concerned. I have a feeling, I think Woj, what he's saying is spot on, but at the moment, I'm just going to take it at face value. He was available, but I would have really enjoyed having him, last couple of games on the stretch. But yeah, the 15-game win streak where we had James Harden, everyone gelling together, Westbrook coming off the bench, everyone figuring out the roles. It was a really good time, personally.
All right, what was your negative?
Negative, PJ Tucker bitching about his his role on the team. Honestly, that guy is such a black hole. Even in this last couple games, you would think that he would be as Ty Lue says, shoot the ball, but this guy literally can't hit anything. Like, he can't even hit the backboard at times, it feels like. Yeah, I'm just really glad. I'm hoping we can move on from him next season or next off season, I should say.
Yeah, I hear that.
What about yourself?
All right, so I'll start with my positive. Since you picked the basically the December January streaks and stuff like that, I'll just say my positive was Halloween when we got James Harden. That didn't last very long because we did go on a 6-game losing streak after that, but that was probably my positive because I think that goes hand in hand with December, January, and all that. My negative, though, speaking of the PJ thing, I would probably say the trade deadline because there was this sudden feeling of like, all right, well, then this is it. And then that's right around the time we started to feel like things weren't 100% great. We went on those winning streaks in January, and then we felt like things don't feel perfect. Maybe we can make a couple adjustments, and then they just literally did nothing. So, and then if you couple that with I guess the buyout market and stuff like that, it was just like, all right, well then they'll get someone in the buyout market. And hypothetically, did we do that? I don't know on the line. We'll get into that in a little bit. What was your feeling? Like, it wasn't positive, it wasn't negative, but it was just like, all right, you didn't hate it, you didn't like it, but it happened part of the season.
Can't really think of one. Why don't you go first while I think of one?
Mine honestly is going off of the last month of March where we really played some of our worst basketball. Then we seemed like we low key locked in like the last week. We beat the Nuggets, we came back against the Cavaliers. Like It felt like, oh man, we're getting locked in. It seems Paul George is playing great, but we did it without Kawhi. We did it without James Harden some of the games. It was just like, all right, it's dope that we're locking in and people are stepping up and we're having these great wins, but this is also not the team that's going to play the game one against the Dallas Mavericks. Unless it is. That's why I was just kind of like, oh, it's dope. I really wanted to see some positive things going into the playoffs, and I did technically get those positive things, so I can't be complaining too much. But there was that part of the back of my head was like, well, now we got to incorporate Kawhi again, and we need to get everybody in a rhythm. But we're able to do it while giving some people rest and stuff. So being able to clinch the fourth seed, I guess. Two date with two games left was really cool. But yeah, what was your part of the season?
I guess like sorry. It comes from a byproduct of the off season, and that was signing Russ. I say that because Bone Highland kind of suffered from it, and that was my ad moment. I kind of wish we got to see a little bit more of Bones Highland and see what he could be. And having a younger, like fresh pair of legs and someone that could, Ty Lue wouldn't be super hyper focused on the drama of, keeping a superstar on the bench, or you don't want to DMP the guy because you already know what kind of exposure he gets on the media and causes some headaches. That was kind of like my eh. Like I could have, could have done without that.
I'll throw another one out there. This kind of goes hand in hand with like couple my negative and my M moment, but like at one point we were the first seed in the West. Felt like the season was at its peak, and then we dropped down to four. And so it's like, okay, that sucks. But then the team kind of like got it together so we could at least stay at four. And not get worse. Like there was potential that we wouldn't have been trying to play out of the play-in the final two games too, the Phoenix Suns and the Lakers and all that stuff. So like there was a moment where I was like, oh, like, we're like, I think it's just like it was disappointing because we had potential to be the number one seed at one point, at least competing for it. And then we had to settle for the fourth seed. But I guess like kudos to the team, I guess, for locking in and staying at the four seed, even though like that sounds like a participation trophy kind of thing. But it the way the season went and how competitive the West is, I guess that's impressive also. But it's kind of like, eh. It's like I don't feel great about it. I don't feel good. I don't feel great about it, but I don't feel terrible about it either. So it's yeah, it's just it, on paper, it is one of the best Clipper seasons we've had. But there was plenty of opportunities this season to fire Ty Lue. There's plenty of opportunities to complain about the team. There's been plenty of opportunities to praise the team. So now it's the playoffs, and we get to move on. Do you have any final thoughts on the season before we move on to our next story?
No, I think we can move on.
All right. So before we end the playoffs, technically on the last day in the 11th hour, the Clippers signed Kai Jones to a contract, and
Released
they
Josh Primo as a
yep,
byproduct, yeah.
you noticed this, but I thought it was really funny, like on the thank you Josh thing, they didn't even put his last name on it. Like this, like the guy played a total of like 8 to 10 minutes or something this entire season. It's funny because I mean, you discussed this. If you don't know, if PJ Tucker plays one, okay, so I do want to clarify this before the playoffs start. He has to play a meaningful minute. It has to just be 1 minute. But if he plays a meaningful minute, so that means like he can't be playing garbage time. That doesn't count. But if he goes into the game and the game's still winnable, or we're winning, then I have to buy a Josh Primo jersey, and the bet's still in effect. I asked a couple friends, and then you were just a solid yes. It still needs to happen.
Yeah, I mean,
But I'm not gonna buy the Fanatics one. I'm not gonna spend the extra
You know what?
$40.
Just buy the ghetto one. Not ghetto, sorry. Buy a knockoff one. Like,
Yeah,
if I went on Amazon.
I was even considering seeing if they had like a inexpensive Spurs one, and just being like, it still technically counts. But I was like, no, that's all right. I will get the Fanatics. I'll get the Fanatics Josh Primo jersey, not the Nike one. I'm not gonna spend the extra $40, but we'll see. PJ Tucker still needs to play a minute in the playoffs. It's probably gonna happen, but now we get back to Kai Jones. He has a there's a reason why the Hornets released him. But I will say this. I am absolutely ecstatic that we have Kai Jones on this team. Now
Yeah,
the
see, that's why we're thinking maybe like Jake was. I think Jake brought up the Kai Jones jersey, but I feel like you would have enjoyed that. Like,
Yeah, the
so.
whole that's not yeah, you're right. Or he also I think mentioned that I could wear PJ Tucker or something like that. So I was like, no. Like there's a reason why we made the Josh Primo bet, the Josh Primo bet, you know. But Kai Jones. I'm ecstatic. This seems more like a next season move than a this season move. I don't know if he's gonna play in the playoffs. I would be surprised if he did, but I don't know. Like, if he was going to play playoff minutes, I would have hoped we signed him like a month ago. But sure. But I'm excited for this next season. But how do you feel about Kai Jones?
I'm pretty excited. I know he had his issues in Charlotte, and it was due to mental health. And I know he mentioned in his interview that he's been working with the NBA. I don't know what part of the organization in the NBA, but to
I
seek
think
mental health.
it was the Players Association.
Yeah, Players Association. And you know, I'm all for. You know, it's good stories, and I really hope this turns into an opportunity for him, to show what he has. I he's pretty athletic. I'm kind of excited what he can do. And this kind of late signing, I know there's a slim chance of him playing, but if there's any ounce of Ty Lue that just says, you know, he's at his wit's end and he's getting destroyed, and you know, he starts looking at options, I feel like he can give something.
Yeah.
And we'll see. I'm excited for him. I do agree with you. This is most likely a next season kind of like move. What's it for? But I'm excited. I'm excited for him to start a new part of his story, and then hopefully he blossoms here.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I was looking right now. I don't see his contracts anywhere. I don't know how much money he's making. It says multi-year deal. I don't know how long that is. but we'll see. But this does kind of like go hand in hand with the Josh Primo thing last year, where like when we were talking about it, I was kind of advocating the idea of like Clippers don't have a lot of picks. We don't have a lot of ways to get younger. So when you have an opportunity to get first round caliber players, you know, then you take it. And if they're a project off the court, then you try your best to fix that. And Kai Jones is another first round project. And, you know, we obviously released Josh Primo. But who knows? I don't miss Josh Primo. I'm not saying that. But who knows? Maybe the Clippers, when they cut a bunch of players next year, maybe they're just like, all right, well, you know, we had Josh Primo in the system. Let's re-sign him, right? But we've been advocating for a while that they release Josh Primo and bring somebody in, and we got Kai Jones. I would not mind if Ty in the playoffs had that impulse to put PJ Tucker in the game. Was like, no, let's try Kai instead. You know, I just don't think Kai's been around the team long enough for that to go smoothly, but I'm not against it. Yeah. I'd rather play Kai Jones, who's played maybe 2 hours of Kawhi on the court, than PJ Tucker, who's been on with the team all year. But Yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm not saying he's here to replace Zoo or anything, but it's nice to have a young athletic player. And if we have a new coach, maybe the new coach will play him. Let's put it
Yeah.
that way. Any thoughts on him before we move on?
No, I think I said everything.
So our next story is going to kind of go hand in hand with the playoffs, but Kawhi hasn't played. How nervous are you?
Not really nervous.
Okay.
We did have that Woj bomb basically saying that it's not that kind of ordeal. And I feel like Woj really, I don't think Woj would say anything given the Clippers' history of giving false information, right, about certain player status.
And that's fair. And that's fair.
And
Yeah.
so I don't feel like Woj would just say anything without having any source of credibility for it.
No, I agree. Today, Chris Broussard said that the Clippers are worried about it, but I haven't believed a word that's come out of Chris Broussard's mouth for at least half a decade.
The guy who said he's going to sign with
Yeah.
the Lakers. Yeah.
I'm not concerned, but I do feel like I need to mentally prepare myself for the Clippers to announce, like, yeah, he's not ready for game one. And if that's the case, then I'll be like, ooh, we better win the series. You know, you better be back soon, you know, like, but I'm mentally preparing myself that that could be a possibility, but I'm also like in the headspace of like, he's been out for 2 weeks. And the Clippers have been very transparent about this injury, to be honest with us. Like, unless it's worse than what they're saying, then it goes back to them not being transparent. Like, you know, it's the old Clippers, but they've been pretty transparent, which is not very, you know, it's not in the Clippers code with Kawhi to be this transparent about it. So they're like, it's inflammation. He's day to day, or they're not worried about it. But they haven't specifically said he's going to be ready for the playoffs. So I'm a little bit more concerned about it than I was the last time we did a podcast, but I'm also not. I'm kind of in the like, well, we'll find out on game one. You know, if it's Friday night and they say like everyone's good to go, then I'll feel much better. But if it's Friday and he's questionable or doubtful, then I'll be like, all right, well. I'll hold the optimism that he'll be available at some point in the series, but if we lose to the Dallas Mavericks because Kawhi wasn't ready, then I think we're gonna be doing like, oh, we need to blow up the team. Oh, we need to blow up the roster. Oh, that was weird. We need to blow up the roster and like they need to start from scratch and rebuild. We're gonna be having those conversations in the offseason if that's the case. But it's yeah. So you feel okay though?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm okay with taking it at face value right now. I think I'll change a different tune based on what happens in the first game on Sunday. So if he doesn't play, or if you can't play a full game, then yeah, definitely I'll be concerned. But
Would you be more concerned if he missed game one, then he was questionable for game two, and maybe he played in game three? Would you be more okay with that? Or would you be more concerned if he did try to go in game one and then he couldn't play in game two?
wait, I'm sorry. Say
All right. So he's
the
out game one.
again. Okay.
He's questionable for game two. Either he plays or he doesn't play, but he doesn't officially come back for game three. So game three, he's healthy to go, right? Or would you rather have him try to go in game one and then all of a sudden he can't go in game two? Which one would you be more concerned about?
I mean, I don't think there's a scenario. It's hard for me to think against the Dallas Mavericks, one of the best players, Luka, that we survive, one, two, first two games without Kawhi. It's just really difficult for me to see that. As much as I'd like to have faith in Paul George and Harden, it's really hard for me to have faith in that. So I don't think I'm okay with any of those options, I'll be
No,
honest. I'd rather
I
him try to play game one and see what he can do. And if he like goes in and he's like, nah, I can't play, then I'm cool with that. Like, I guess in that scenario you're giving me.
All right.
What about you? What how would you,
I
how are
think
you gonna take it?
I think I'd rather have him out for game one, knowing that he might play in game two or three. But it would make me nervous that the series would continue and he wouldn't come back. But I'd rather, like, if we won game one, let's just say, like, PG and Harden get it done, and we won game one without him, and then there's the possibility he might be able to come back. Then it's like, oh, okay, then all right, fine. You bought me another day, Clippers. But if he goes in game one and he can't continue, then I feel like the injury is much more serious than they're telling us. So it's like,
Yeah, but I really don't think Woj would tweet anything without, having some solid information.
I think so. I think this. I honestly
Or
think
not tweet, but say it
if
on air.
the Clippers were in a more desperate situation, I wouldn't be surprised if he came back last week. But I think with inflammation, they're just being cautious. The Clippers were able to get it done without him, so he didn't have to play. He got the extra week off. He's going to have this week off as well. 3 solid weeks of rest going into the playoffs. We don't really need to worry about the rust too much with Kawhi. I think more so I'm worried about the other teams playing around him because they haven't played with him in like 3 weeks, but we'll see. I get, it's just more so talking to talk. And we're not going to really have an opinion on it until it's game one and we figure out what we find out what the Clippers do. Speaking of that, I guess we can move on to the playoffs. The Clippers will play the Dallas Mavericks in the first round. It feels like the rest of the world is doubting the Clippers. People have this false narrative that like Luka's like won the last two series or something. Like I've been seeing like someone, I forgot who it was. This is some jackass put like, and then Luka would beat them again. I'm like, what? When? Yeah, Luka. And it's funny because I think like Luka has these moments. Like Luka is like the Clippers of stardom, I feel like, because he has these moments, but he still hasn't really accomplished anything. That's the Clippers, right? They have all these cool moments, but they haven't really accomplished anything. And like so he's like he's got the he beat the Clippers by 50. He made the game winner in the bubble, He they went up 2-0 on the Clippers and he had like, he's triple doubles and scoring a bunch of points, blah blah blah. But it's like at the end of the day, the Clippers won both series. And how do you feel about the Clippers' chances going into the first round?
I know I'm going to sound like the antithesis to this. I couldn't pronounce that correctly because of my Invisalign.
Right.
Sorry. but I know we're saying this is like 2 seasons ago. Like we saw each other in the playoffs, and we've had a winning track record. But also remind yourself this that we're also 2 seasons older,
That's true.
and Kawhi and Paul George aren't the same players they were when we first saw them. And they've dealt with injuries since then, and some of them have been reoccurring injuries that have kind of followed them. So I am very concerned with I'll be honest, I'm very concerned about Luka. I have a feeling that this is going to be the narrative he wants to break, and I have a feeling he's going to ball out. And he's going to try to break that narrative that he can't get over the hump with the Clippers.
Well, you know what? For everyone in the Clippers organization's sake, he still better not get over the hump.
Yeah, I'm with
There,
you.
there, there, there's a just as much as there's riding on Luka to like change this narrative, there's probably a lot more on the Clippers to get through this, at least this first round.
Yeah.
And with Kawhi, I like our chances. I'm with you. When it's a series against a team that has the better NBA player, and I will say this on record that Luka would be the best player in the series. And on any given night, you can make the argument that Kyrie would be the second best player. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying Kyrie is better than Kawhi or Paul George, but on any given night, Kyrie might have the game that's better than those guys, right? So, all if we get two games where Kyrie outplays PG and Kawhi, then I think we're losing both those games. So, but I think there's going to be games where Kawhi outplays Luka. But I would say on paper, if we were to play a seven game series, I'd probably say Luka plays better than everybody on the court at least six out of those seven games.
I think we have the, if Kawhi is available, I think we have the talent to win. I don't think it's going to be an easy win. I think Luka is for sure going to give us a run for a run our money, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's the same seven game series. But you know, they're kind of stringing it together, you know, at the right time. So it's a little concerning to see that going into the playoffs. We started to, but obviously what you made mention of that it's without Kawhi, and you know that is a little concerning. Like yeah, the matchup's a little concerning. Hopefully Ty Lue, having you know coached Kyrie, I feel like Kyrie is going to be X factor for sure in this game, and well in the series, because I think Luka's going to be Luka. Luka's going to get his points. It's to me about, are we gonna let Kyrie, you know, have his moments?
Yeah, it's one of those things where I feel like we hopefully we don't like double the hell out of Luka. You know, like I think hopefully we just create decent matchups, which kind of worries me about Zoo, because I know Luka likes to tear apart Zoo a little bit. But Luka's been defended by Zoo before too. You know, and Zoo's held his own a couple times, but any center on Luka would have a tough time. So
Well,
it's one of those things where I think Ty might go small when he doesn't really have to, but he might.
I have a question for you on this one.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Harden? You know, Harden, Luka possibly. Or how, do you think they're going to start looking kind of like what the Lakers did with Harden? They started looking for switches like so they can have Harden on them.
Well,
Because I feel like,
I would really try to not have Harden guard any of the guards. But if there was switches, I'll tell you this though. There are moments where Luka likes to put his back to the basket, and those were moments back in the day where Patrick Beverley had a tough time with that. I don't think Harden would have a tough time with that. I actually think Harden would defend that better than Patrick Beverley did.
yeah, I actually like, as much as a off like offensive beast that you know Luka is, he's not super fast,
No.
and he's just crafty. And because he's not fast, I feel like fast. Sorry, I feel like Harden, if they do switch, I think Harden can, you know, keep up and play some decent defense. I think Westbrook could as well. I think we kind of have the flexibility in the guard position with Westbrook. I know I said earlier, I'm hoping Westbrook proves me wrong. And you know, all that drama that we had going on about who's a starting guard, you know, pays off here. I feel like we have the personnel, but again, like it just goes back to Kawhi. I don't think we win the series without Kawhi.
That's true. Like, I think there's a chance. Like, every time you step on the court, there's a chance, right?
Yeah, there's a puncher's chance.
But like, I wouldn't like our chances. You're right. It's on the flip side. Like, I think the Clippers have matchup issues with guarding Dallas. But on the flip side, I think Dallas also has a lot of holes and matchup issues guarding our guys. So
Yeah.
it's a more so it's like if our guys could step up. I think we all are expecting that the Dallas Mavericks guys are going to step up because they always do. And we're worried that the Clippers guys won't. You know, we're going to come out slow. We're going to be old. We're not going to, it's going to probably be a noon game for whatever reason, even though we're the only like Pacific Coast team. Playing that
Yeah.
day.
Well, it doesn't help that we had that rough patch of, you know, losing games where it just felt like none of our role players can really get, can't even hit like double digits, you know? So like they didn't really instill like confidence in us going to those playoffs. But I'm hoping they do. I'm hoping we cut Terrence Mann for a reason and he pops off. He has, you know what? I said so many things about T-Man and his, like, you know, reliving the Jazz series. If he has it again, dude, I will apologize to T-Man.
T-Man's barely been a replacement player this year, but if there's one thing he could do well, and that's get under Luka's skin.
Yeah, she has a good point. I totally forgot about
And I do know he's officially in the starting lineup. So he's going to be matched up with Luka right off the bat.
that.
Unless like we get too experimental, but he's going to be matched up with Luka. And I'm assuming Paul George or Kawhi will be matched up with Kyrie. Probably Paul. So I'm trying to think like I'm trying and then I'm assuming maybe when Amir Coffey comes into the game or Russ comes into the game, then they'll, put Paul or Kawhi back, on somebody else so to give them like, rest their legs so they're not guarding Kyrie the whole time. But
I guess
go for it.
I know you mentioned that we'll probably go small because he likes to switch to
Yeah.
Zoo. How do you feel about PJ Tucker in the series?
Not at all. I swear to God, dude. I swear to God, please don't do that. There's no one. There's no one on the Dallas Mavericks I think PJ matches up with. Like I get the Jokic BS, even though I feel like, that game that he did against the Nuggets was an outlier on how it would really go. Yeah, no. Please, 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 please don't do that. PJ Tucker would get his brand new nice shoes just absolutely ripped apart by Luka. Would be the slowest crossover match with the slowest sliding of the feet on defense, and it would be terrible thing to witness. Oh my God, don't do that. Don't do that.
I'm thinking there's a scenario where PJ steps up and he can play some decent defense on Luka.
On who? On Luka?
I just, like, again, it goes back to Luka not being super fast. Like, I feel like
Oh no.
I just
No, dude.
I'm trying to speak this into existence, dude, because
Dude,
I know we know it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen, dude. Like it or not,
yeah,
it's gonna happen.
PJ Tucker's probably gonna play in game one. But by game six or seven, I hope that Ty's like, oh yeah, by the way, that didn't work. But I wouldn't be surprised though if he tries it and it's still not working, and then all of a sudden, it's a tied series, and Ty's like, you know what? F it. And he puts Kai Jones in there. Say like, F it.
Let's see.
But knowing Ty Lue for the last several years, Kai Jones might as well not even wear a jersey to the game. Because I don't see any situation where Ty would be comfortable putting him in. Unless like it's like you said, Kawhi's hurt, he's not playing, and he just needs to throw something at the wall, then maybe we see Kai Jones. But I don't think we're seeing Kai Jones at all.
Yeah,
So
but needless
yeah.
to say, I'm being super negative, but I do believe Kawhi is healthy,
I do too, yeah.
and I do believe he's gonna be 100% to play the game. He's gonna show up in game one, and if he's there, I know Luka is the best player, but I think we have the best trio out of them, and I do believe we'll win the series. I just don't think it'll be single-handedly, and I think we'll all have heart attacks throughout the
Oh
series.
yeah, I think
That's the
there might be a situation where we're down like 3 games to 1 or something. I won't feel like we're out of it, but I'll be like, I'm not liking this, guys. Going back though to like, I don't see anybody on Dallas who's going to guard James Harden. So if James Harden shows up, and like looks like James Harden of maybe, I don't know, a month and a half ago, he's finally got some rest. He goes out there, and I'm not saying he goes out there and scores 30 points on everybody. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying like getting himself in positions to get other players open, and if Terrence Mann's going to hit his open shots, if Amir Coffey's going to hit his open shots, if Kawhi shows up prepared, if Paul George goes shows up. You know, the thing I'm concerned about is I feel like Paul George is such a rhythm player. Having an entire like week and a half off is probably not going to help his cause either. So like I wouldn't be surprised if everyone's just not ready for game one. You know, we've played without Kawhi. Paul George might be out of the rhythm, you know, and so we might just have a slow start, but I don't expect us to lose by like 30 points or anything. I'm just saying, like, you know, we might lose an 8-point game or something. But I don't see anybody on Dallas who matches up with James Harden. Like, I don't see Luka guarding James Harden. I don't see Kyrie guarding James Harden. I don't, you know, and then all their other wing players are like, whatever. Like, Dante Exum on James Harden, please. Like, you know, and on the Dallas Mavericks side, like Kyrie and Luka could go off for 40 points each. That's 80 points. There's going to probably need another group of players to come up with another 40 points. And so it's like, it's Tim Hardaway. You know, he always shows up and looks like a three-time NBA All-Star when he plays the Clippers. But, you know, we'll see. You know, PJ Washington's there. You know, they have some dudes. You know, they have to, but like, are they gonna show up? Like, I don't know.
And then Jake also did remind us this today. Jason Kidd is still the coach, so Ty Lue and Jason Kidd might have a mitt off, and I think Jason Kidd is going to win this one.
You think Jason Kidd could? I'll tell you this: as much as we don't like Ty Lue on paper, even though he's not
Oh.
sure, Ty Lue on paper is the better coach.
Yeah. I was saying like you're gonna have a mitt off. I'm just gonna
Wow.
say like, and I think Jason Kidd's gonna win. It's funny because when I was thinking his name, I was thinking Kid Rock, and I just visualized Kid Rock as a head coach, and he might as well be the
You
head
did
coach. I'll be
mention when we were chatting about it earlier too. You did mention that, like, you're like, well, you know, Luka's so good, it might offset Jason Kidd's bad coaching. You know, so you're not wrong. You know, so
It's just like I know we I know we say that, you know, let the best player win. And you mentioned like, you know, hopefully we don't double him as much and we give Luke's to like Kyrie and role players for them to go off. But I think Luka is that kind of talent where he could beat you by himself. I mean, I think he had one game where he did and he dropped like 50 points or something like that. Did he? I'm trying to remember.
And but there's been moments where I feel like Ty Lue's coached against Luka so much that I'm not gonna lie, I'm going to put some faith. I shouldn't. I should learn my lesson, you know. But I'm going to put some faith in Ty Lue that when he's allowed Luka to cook, but not let everybody else cook, it's actually play. It's been in the Clippers' favor. Because what happens is Luka goes off, he's cooking the entire game, but you know, we're staying home on switches, we're staying home on, you know, on other things. We're not crowding the paint. We're letting Luka cook. By the fourth quarter, his legs are not in it, and he's missing threes, and he's like, in those scenarios, Ty Lue, like, although it's sometimes painful to watch, those games where Luka's going off for 40 to 50 points, we're still winning those games. So it's one of those things. The X factor now is, instead of KP out there with, like, you know, the worst knees in the history of the NBA, we now have Kyrie. And Kyrie is a swift dude, and he's good, and he could get his own shot. And if we were to somehow take Luka out of the game, then Kyrie would be in the game. But at the same time, now I feel like, you know, you have two ball handlers that, like, it could either be disastrous for us, or Kyrie's taking the ball out of Luka's hands, and that's better for us, you know,
Yeah, I see that.
or you know, like I said, we let Luka go off for 50, but if we keep everybody else around 10, 15, we're fine. You know, it's, yeah, it's.
Yeah, and to your credit, you're right. Like, you know what? Say we said a lot of things about the regular season in regards to Ty Lue, but you know, this is the playoffs. This is where we're gonna see him coach, and we're gonna see what he's worth. We're gonna see if he is the guy. And ultimately, it's going to tell us what we're going to do in the off season. So, I'm hoping, you know, I'm never praying for anyone's downfall. I'm hoping that he coaches his ass off. he was Kyrie's coach, you know, on the Cavs. He's had to game plan for him. He knows his defensive weaknesses. You know, I had to have some sort of hope that he kind of knows how to combat Kyrie as well. And you just mentioned the fact that we have such a history of Luka. You know, he's been exposed to Luka and understands what he should be able to scheme. So I'm hoping he can whip something up, you know?
Yeah, and even if he fails, hopefully everybody else has his back enough to win the series. Like my thing is, and what we were hoping with this trio is I think we were just hoping that, like, all right, so it's fine. You're slowing down Kawhi, you're slowing down PG. Do you have something for Harden? And I think in the past we never had a Harden. You know,
Yeah.
it's like, oh, cool, you slowed down our two best guys. Hopefully Batum makes a couple threes. You know, it's now we have a dude that, you know, you have to account for. And even if he's not having the best game, and even if you're looking for that switch on defense to catch him, like, hopefully Dante Exum could stop James Harden. You're hoping on that? You know, like, okay, like, or he's gonna get Luka on a switch, or hell, he gets Kyrie on a switch. And you know, Kyrie's athletic enough that, like, I'm sure he'll steal the ball from James Harden a couple times in the series. It's seven straight games. But I don't know. I really don't know. Like, who's their best defender, technically? Is it Hardaway? Like, I'm really trying to think, like, who's their lockdown defender? They've used to have a couple players on their team that were locked. Like, they had DFS for all those years, who's going to be put on Kawhi, and at least he would slow him down. He might not be able to stop Kawhi, but he would contain Kawhi sometimes, or he would contain Paul George or something like that. But now we have James Harden, and they don't have a DFS anymore. So it's one of those things where it's like, I could see almost every single game in this series being like 100, or going up to, I don't know, hypothetically, like 280 points total. You know, like 140-ish each. I could see like at least five games going that way. And then there will be like that one outlier game where it's just like 80 to 73 or some bullshit like that. But
Yeah, funny enough, I'm looking at the defensive rating and we are fifth place with 114.6, and Dallas Mavericks are 114.9, sixth place.
so who would have, who, I don't know if you have this in front of you, and I'm sure there's other podcasts who've already had this all set up already. But who has the best defensive rating on the Dallas Mavericks roster?
You know what, let me see.
Like, I'm trying to see here real quick. I'm looking it up.
Dude, that's how I don't know how good, like, I don't know much about the roster. Like, I'll be honest, like,
They don't.
after they made some moves in the offseason, you know, they made a trade and then they got rid of the guy, Grant. I'll be honest, I stopped paying attention to them. And they started getting some dubs, and they got themselves back in the playoffs. And
I'm not gonna be that guy, but a lot of their wins were against cupcake ass teams in that final, stretch. While we were playing the Bucks twice, the Dallas Mavericks. I guess I can't use that as a good example anymore because the Bucks suck. But the Dallas Mavericks were like basically playing pickup games against, like, I don't know, like the Wizards and stuff, and the Blazers.
So the defensive rating I have right here from StatMuse says that Exum has 118.2, and Tim Hardaway has 118.5.
Okay. Cool. So, all right. So I'm gonna look this up real quick. Do we not have the rest of the? We still don't have the rest of the games when they are. Okay. The Dallas Mavericks. I'm gonna go look at some of the games they've played in the last month or so. So they played the Celtics and the 76ers, but since then, since the 9th. Pistons, Bulls, Warriors. Then they played the Thunder and the Nuggets. Then they played the Spurs, the Jazz, the Rockets.
Yeah.
The Warriors again, the Hawks again, the Warriors, the Rockets, the Hornets, like the Pistons again. And then they have a couple games against the Thunder in there and stuff like that. And I think they have like one game against the Nuggets in there. But for the most part, yeah, it's against teams that have lower seeds than them. I mean, if you want to go back even further than that, you know. So yeah, I guess I haven't played the Wizards, but they, you know, when you got a couple Pistons games in your final stretch and everyone's praising you for being level above 500, that's great.
Name a greater trio than Brian and Haiti on the Dallas Maps.
It's fun. It's
I
funny,
love it so much.
cause Luka. I'm gonna say this right now, Luka. He's been on my soft side for a little bit now. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
I'm like
I agree.
I
What
don't
he
I,
did to the Suns and Devin
yeah,
Booker.
absolutely. I didn't realize I hated Devin Booker more than I hated Luka. I didn't know that until the series happened, and I was so happy it happened. And I am anticipating hating Luka again this like coming Saturday. It's not gonna take long. It's gonna be about tip off, and I'm gonna be pissed. I think it's gonna be someone showing me like a pregame photo or a pregame video of him just shooting like a half court shot and making it, and I'm like, I'm already pissed. I'm already done with this. So yeah, we're gonna be doing episodes after every playoff game. Do you have any thoughts before we head out?
No, I think that's it, man.
All right.
I'm looking forward to it. Let's see. Kawhi's gonna show up. I'm putting that positive energy out there right now.
I will say this. I think there's overall expectations for this team, but the way they've played to finish the season off, like in the March and stuff, I don't really have a ton of expectations right now. Like, there's stuff they're supposed to be doing, but I don't know if like they'll actually do it, you know? I haven't felt this way since the 01 run when they went on that streak and made it to the Western Conference Finals, where I knew the team was good enough and I knew the team should win, but I didn't expect much from them. That's where I'm kind of at now. So I'm hoping me going into the playoffs with a more mild mindset is actually that energy is going to calm the Clippers and their nerves and they go on this great run. We'll see though, because I know the moment the tip off happens, the heart's gonna drop in my chest, and I'm just gonna be stressed for an entire series. And that's that.
We're fine. Kawhi is there. We're fine.
Well, since you said that, you can find our podcast wherever you find your podcast, and you can find us on X, Twitter at LEclipse Forum. Please say hi. We're gonna be dropping episodes all playoffs long. And yeah, we appreciate you guys. You know, you guys could be doing anything with your time, but you're spending it with us, and we appreciate it. You got any final thoughts?
Thank you guys. We appreciate you guys running with us for this full season, the ups and downs. We appreciate it. We're looking forward to the playoffs with you guys. So
Dude,
let's get it go.
we even threw some stats in this podcast. Who would have thought?
Some half-ass stats. We do it for you guys. Nothing but the
Googling half of their wall stat mood said.
best.
We're out.
Later.